This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, thanks for being a loyal listener. This is Carm Capriotto, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcast. Hey, this is the place where we have real conversations on topics that I know are important to you and the success of your business. You know, as an owner, it can be easy to want something to work out so much that you become blind to certain red flags. And you also worry about the production of your business if you let someone go. Now, what should you do? Well, my panel shares their experience, maybe it's called wisdom, with a wrong service advisor hire and how they recovered. And thanks to our partners, Shopware and Broadly, for providing you this episode. Ring, ring, it's the 2020s calling, and they're telling you that it's time for an upgrade. Head on over to the internet and type in getshopware.com. Now, these friendly folk are excited to meet you and share all that cloud-based shop management has to offer. Hey, are you tired of wasting money on ads that no one sees? Well, Broadly can change that for you. It gets you more Google reviews so prospects will see your shop when they search for auto repair in your area. On the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Glad to have you here as we're going to talk about recovering from a wrong service advisor hire. What's some great lessons I think we're going to learn in this show that hopefully will prepare you for a much better 2022, especially if you're struggling in that department? We're coming to you live from the Remarkable Results Radio podcast studio, commonly called my Carm Cave. Good to have you here. Let me see who my guests are today. Wow, Corey Ivaldi. Olmsted Auto Care.
Hey.
Olmsted Falls, Ohio. Good to have you here, Corey.
Oh, thanks for the invite, Carm. Pleasure to be here. Love the jacket.
Thank you very much. Yeah, this is, I remember wearing it to the last Christmas party I was at. That was 2 years ago, and I was wondering when my next Christmas party was going to be. Jim Shookey's from Jim's Automotive, Streetsboro, Ohio. Are you guys close together?
Not that far. Maybe half hour, 40 minutes tops.
Cool. I was going to say about 40 minutes.
Hey, Corey, I want to start with you. Never underestimate what a negative individual can do to your culture. And that, to me, is the premise of our whole discussion.
Oh, absolutely. If you have an advisor or anybody in your shop that is a negative asset to your company culture, something that is deviated from what your vision is, that it actually brings more negativity than what you even think it is. Like, so you have this person and you're like, they're a little quirky or they're this or that, but they're okay. Everybody's fine. Well, to be honest, more people see that, more people of your team think that you are allowing this type of behavior and that you support it, even though you physically don't. But to everybody else, it's allowed in your shop or in your business. And you really, at least to me, I never had noticed until I removed it from the store. And then you get all the feedback from the team members that either that are still there, or you just see that your culture just shifts. Like, wow, where did this positive energy, where was it this whole time? And you just never realize the effects of just the littlest things that a person can do, how it affects so many other different people in your industry or in your organization.
Corey, Jim, I don't know about you guys, but I'll never forget making some grave terminations. You know, they were just so important to do, and it took me so long to find out that the team came to me and said, "About time, boss."
It's almost every single time, unfortunately, when somebody ends up moving on, you know, whether it was my choice or theirs, and a team member will be like, "Oh my God, this is it's about time," or, "Man, we should have done that sooner." And it's like, why don't you guys give me that feedback? But people tend to believe in the innocence of somebody. And, you know, we try to have faith in humanity and, you know, don't think that people are out there to do this. And I still believe that people don't do it maliciously, but it happens, right? You know, I told a story to you, Carm, of my service advisor who he eventually got this very big ego, decided that it was not really important for him to have to come to work. He figured, oh, well, you know, other people are going to take on the lead. The store will be fine. And it got to the point where I had to come in more and more, and I couldn't trust that he was going to be there. And eventually, when we parted ways, everybody was like, wow, it's nice to have some consistency now.
Which lends itself to that whole thing, Corey, and I know you want to talk about this later. You know, processes can set you free. And I know that is so, so critical. Jim, your instincts. I mean, I got great intuition and instincts, I do. But when I don't listen to them, sometimes stuff happens.
I'm a smaller volume repair shop. We're a lot busier now than we were, you know, years ago when I made that hire. And for a small volume shop that doesn't have a full-time service writer, when you decide to make that move and you're concerned that you're taking on a lot more payroll than you think you can afford, and you finally find somebody who's qualified, you want it to work so bad that you're willing to look past some of the signs, which is exactly what I did, because I was like, it took me forever to find a guy who, he was versed in our software. He had a, you know, 5 to 6 year track record at a big volume facility, and within the first week there were a couple of signs. And it's a tough decision to make when you've spent most of your life working in your business and you're finally trying to get out of that. It's tough to make that decision. And, I'll be honest with you, would I make the same mistake over again? Possibly. But, you know, I think I'd make the decision a little bit quicker than I did the last time around. It darn near destroyed my business the last time around.
I can't imagine you're trying to get up and out of the business and working, you know, in it, not on it, and you made this great hire. Your first hire for this new position to free you up, and you got to keep saying in the back of yourself, you can't keep second guessing. It just has to be right. It just is no way my first one could be bad. you want it to be right every minute of every day, but you keep hearing all, you know, it's like, uh-oh, what are those? Oh, it's roadkill. The birds are flying and you're not paying attention. Customers, just sometimes they don't feel good about giving negative feedback to you.
We didn't initially. After 5 or 6 months, I talked to a couple of customers. I'd seen a complaint online somewhere. So I reached out to a couple of good customers. They indicated that they weren't happy with the service writer at all. And I said, well, you know, why didn't you say something? You know, I had to force it out of them. A number of customers said, look, I don't like to complain. You know, it's your business. And I said, look, going forward, you know, you're a great customer of mine. If I put somebody in a position to deal with you and you're not comfortable with them, I really want you to give me some feedback. And they said going forward they would. But after the fact, when we parted ways, is when the seas opened up. I sent out an email to my customer base explaining that we'd parted ways, tried to keep it as professional as possible. But I got flooded with responses. I had customers who said, I wasn't coming back until you got rid of this guy. And fortunately, it worked out for the best. But I can say no less than 40 to 50 complaints after the fact, if not more than that. It took us months to field the complaints and put everybody at ease. I mean, it had an immediate impact on the business for about 6 or 7 months. It was devastating.
Why did it take you so long?
So initially, when we got started, I mean, he hit the ground running. I stepped back. I didn't micromanage. Our average ticket went up quite a bit, probably $100, $150. Our car count was up for the first couple of months. Okay. There were just a couple of things I asked him to do that he was reluctant to do. My response as a business owner should have been, I'm paying you. This is what I'm asking you to do. I expect you to do it. If you don't do it, we're going to have some issues, okay? Mm-hmm. I didn't do that because I wanted the dream to work. So the first couple of months, 2.5, 3 months, weren't that bad. But after 3 or 4 months, then all of a sudden there was a drop in sales. So it took a couple of months. You know, the signs that I got before then weren't necessarily because my customers were upset. There were just some things he was doing I didn't like, and as a business owner, I didn't want to address it because I wanted to keep that dream alive. So it took about 4 months before it really started showing up in the sales. And then the sales started to dip at that point in time.
And that's the exact kind of scenario that I was at. I was at this point of growth and trying to work on the business and not in the business. So I really did want this to work out. We had hired more advisors and brought other people on, and I'm trying to put this other advisor, my first advisor, into a leadership position. And that's where, you know, it just went south from there. And I tried to make it work so much, but it got to the point where, you know, my team was not happy. I was having issues with customers' cars. We weren't getting stuff done on time. It started being the effect of the business. And it really started putting a lot of stress back on me. And I started not enjoying my job, my work. And at that point, that I just had to reach a breaking point where I said, you know what, I can jump right back into this business and be happier than when I am right now. Honestly, I jumped in. I thought I was going to have to go into 2 feet, but then it just, my culture instantly improved, and I was out of the business back before I even knew it, just because the other folks around ended up being so much better than what I had even ever imagined. And people stepping up to the plate, and I was just blown away.
As far as indicators are concerned, did the wife notice you were having a problem at work?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I was bringing home stress home. I was becoming a person that I didn't want to be. This business isn't everything. I have a whole family. You know, we have a young family. I wasn't being the dad, the husband that I wanted to be. I was always in a bad mood. I came to a breaking point one night, and I'm just like, I'm it. You know, tomorrow is going to be the day. And I followed through. It was probably one of the best decisions I ever made. And like I said, once my team instantly stepped up, within weeks, I was back out of the store. And yes, we were still looking and hiring. The people that I had there, they had my back. I'm blessed to have the team that I do.
Yeah, guys, it's an amazing, amazing truism that when you end up forcibly making a decision on shorthanding the company, if the culture is strong and the team is supporting you and behind you, you're probably not going to miss a beat. People are going to just step up to a new level that you probably never even knew existed and get it done while you're repairing what needs to be repaired, while you're looking to replace that individual. And it reminds me of what quality cultures are like when people go on vacation. It's the same thing. Everybody just steps up. Customers are happy. The numbers are done. You go away to training for a few days. You come back. You never miss a beat in sales volume. It just happens because the cultures are so vibrant and so alive. And I'm sure that's what goes on in your businesses. Corey, you were asking someone to do something, which was part of the process of the company, but they weren't. Let's go into that.
The whole thing started, right, in this mentality that I was working myself out of the business, and I was coming up with system operation procedures, right? And they work really well. Almost, they work too well. The reason why they work too well is because my first process was to hire an advisor. So I bring in this advisor and I start building on all these processes into our shop, and our revenue's going up, our car count's going up, our build hours are going up. I'm hiring more technicians, another service advisor, everything is. So when I started having these problems with this advisor, I instantly was like, I can't lose this person. Like, they're an asset. They've doubled my business. And that's where I was fighting myself for a long time on letting this person go. We've talked. I've given them times off. I've written them up. I did everything in my power to try to do course correction with this person. It never stuck. It would be fine for a couple of weeks. So then I'm like, all right, I will take that step back in the business. I will let the revenues come back down just to live a happier life. Well, my system operation procedure was rock solid. The rest of the team knew exactly what to do, even without this other person in there. And it just kept taking off. And so we never even had a dip in our sales. We actually kept the growth that we were still on, the same incline and everything. And it was amazing. And what I thought was going to be a devastating blow ended up being just a big learning curve for me. The next year was better than that year prior to. Processes is what really really made the difference at my shop.
Thanks for confirming that. Now, Jim, in your case, I think you start seeing your sales go in the tank, didn't you?
They tanked pretty good. I can't remember exactly how bad, but a notable difference, and it hurt. I'm going to say a good 10 to 15% dip in sales, if memory serves me correctly, for a few months. We recovered pretty quick. I mean, I was proactive at that point in time. And we've always done a good job with customer service. It's something I excel at. And I've got a great staff. When it comes to taking care of the customer, everybody did step up. Like Corey said, I've never had that issue with the guys in the shop. Even though they don't deal with the customers on a daily basis, they do have contact with the customers. You know, we have certain programs, customer pickup, drop-offs, loaner vehicles, all that kind of stuff. We bend over backwards to take care of the customer, but the service writer issue, my female customers just absolutely hated this guy. He was very condescending. And it wasn't even so much about what we were selling. It was just about how he was selling it and his indifference to their desire to or not to get work done on the car. And so, and I deal with a lot of female customers. They're a good chunk of our business. That's where we were losing our sales because they didn't even want to come in and talk to this guy. We turned it around pretty quick. We turned it around after a few months. The sales turned around and started to go back up.
You didn't hesitate to call your customers and say, hey, we goofed. You got to come back, right?
Absolutely. I don't do it probably as much as I should, but in this case, I knew I had to do something. It's my livelihood. This is what I have. I have nothing else to fall back on. So it was a big enough impact on the business that I felt I had to, and I'm glad I did.
You can't take that relationship for granted because here's the deal. Today, you make the termination, but their car isn't ready to come back in the shop for 2 or 3 months. Something doesn't happen. And the decision that they make at that time, if they weren't told that things have changed, they may vote with their emotions and stay away.
And I've learned over the years that you can do 20 great things for one customer, but if they come in and there's one bad experience, they speak by going somewhere else. They don't necessarily say anything. So you're only as good as your last attempt to take care of that customer. You can never take for granted that they're always going to be happy. So in this case, I had no choice but to get on the phone, emails, whatever was necessary to make contact with these people and make sure everything was okay.
Hey, Carm here. Now keep listening to find out why Jim's slogan is, it's not that I don't care, it's just that I don't care. When it comes to vehicle service, you're crushing it. But when it comes to day-to-day operations and customer service, can you say the same? Do you have a seamless workflow that blows customers away? If not, you may want to consider Shopware, the industry's leading shop management system. Most of us can remember the days when auto shops thrived off carbon copy forms and phone calls. Well, the truth is, times have changed. Manual processes and physical paperwork can really cost your shop time and money. Our friends at Shopware have developed a software platform that can simplify your operations and leave your customers saying, wow. If you're like the rest of shop owners that are constantly monitoring their Google reviews, you'll want all the help you can get driving those enthusiastic reviews from happy customers. Head to GetShopware.com today to book a demo and see how their team can get you there. Did you know there's actually a best time to ask a customer for an online review? It's true. According to Broadly, asking for a review right after service is key. Think about it. That's when the car looks good and the customer is happy and in the best frame of mind to give you a good review. And all those good reviews, well, that's what's going to get the attention of people who search for auto shops online and get you even more customers coming into your shop. Do you have a company helping you out with reviews? Do they make sure each customer is being asked to leave you a review? Broadly gives you the confidence to ask and receive more quality online reviews from your clients. Get Broadly's system. Help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of 5-star reviews. Make the move. Visit Broadly on the web at getbroadly.com/chat to start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. I'm an employee. Sit down, Corey, and I say, hey, boss, it's great working here, and we've got a great culture and everything going, but I don't know if you've looked around lately. there's one bad cog in the wheel, and then leave and then leave the office. Does that happen, guys?
Happens, yes.
Yeah. Perfect example was I had an apprentice with me. One of my other technicians came to me, and he kind of knew some of the deal. We had an agreement that once this technician went through his schooling, I was going to buy him his first starter tool set. I had one of my technicians who pulled me to the side, and he goes, "Hey, just so you know, this is what so-and-so has been saying." He goes, "You might want to hold off on buying that toolkit." So, you know, without disclosing anything, I brought my apprentice in. I had talked to him. All I'm looking for is, you know, your commitment to us and our team. You know, it's your decision. It was the week that he was graduating. He said, "Oh, absolutely." He shook hands. And I said, "All right, look forward to seeing it on Monday," because this was Friday. And Monday morning came, and he came to pick up, his little tool bag and everything and head out the door.
You got warning, huh?
Oh, my God. My technician, he went right to bat and just disclosed everything that he knew. And he's one of my best technicians that I have that came to me. But, I mean, we have such that deep connection and trust between one another. To me, that was valuable. That's loyalty.
Jim, anything to add?
As far as dealing with the technicians, that part I've got mastered, Carm. I wish I had the same mindset with the service writers. But if I get a bad technician, and I've got a great staff right now, the best staff I've ever had. But my lead technician especially, he's a great guy, common sense guy. And if there's an issue with somebody in the shop, you know, he goes above the worrying about snitching on somebody and comes to me as a professional and says, "Hey, you might have a problem with this guy, or this guy's doing this, or he's doing that, and you don't need this." And I'll nip that in the bud immediately. That I've mastered. So it's happened a few times. But in the past, I've done that before with technicians. The same thing I did with that service writer. I'm so desperate to have a technician in the shop that I would put up with some idiotic stuff because I just didn't want to get rid of that technician and put myself in a position where we couldn't get the work done. But I don't do anymore. That ship has sailed a long time ago. And I'm working that into the service advisor position because I believe that the service advisor position is the heartbeat of the business. It's just as important as my position or the technician's position.
Guys, I want to ask you a question. I've told this story on the podcast over the years about a gang fire. A bunch of really key people in my company came up to me, closed the door in the office, and I wasn't prepared. Well, it's either him or us. Anything like that ever happened to you?
I personally have not had the entire team say it was him or us. I have had individuals come and say, "I can't work with this person anymore." It only happened to me one time. They were both guilty, and I think you both need to exit my business.
No, I've never had that, Carmen. It's amazing. That's probably a whole nother podcast. I get up to work and just expect that I'm going to go to work and do my job. And everybody else is going to go to work and do their job. But some people just can't get along. And I, for the life of me, will never figure that out. But my lead technicians have been with me for 10 years. And everybody else has been with me for at least a couple of years. They're good people. But I've had some idiots in the past. But just always one. We've always been able to isolate just that one guy. And he's usually at odds with everybody else by the time it comes time to get rid of him. But I've never had total anarchy, no.
So, guys, why don't we listen to the indicators? Corey, you said in the beginning, because I just wanted to work. I want it to happen, right?
I would have done so many things differently that I wouldn't be in a position where I'm still writing service part-time right now because I've got somebody in training right now. She's doing a great job. We do butt heads every once in a while, but she works hard. My customers love her.
But you're training her completely different.
Completely. I didn't train the other guy. My expectation was he was just going to come in and get the job done. Like I said, when I initially tried to force a couple procedures on him, he was just reluctant. And my response should have been, "Well, you're going to do this or you're going to have to go." And I didn't. It was a mistake. But I've gotten to the point where in business, Carmen, and it literally took me in a business 21 years. It probably took me 18 or 19 years to get to this point. And I have a phrase that says, "It's not that I don't care, It's just that I don't care. So I care about people that work for me, but if they put me in a situation where it's going to cause me grief or my wife is going to be yelling at me because I'm not doing something I should be doing at work, it's going to stop right there. And it's just, I didn't have the nerve, frankly, Carm, to make those decisions years ago. It's just, they're tough decisions to make. People think I'm a big enough jerk as a business owner as it is sometimes, and I'm just trying to be a nice guy. And I don't want to come off as the bad guy. But every single person I've gotten rid of in the past wasn't a quality person. I never got rid of a good employee. All right. They've always quit and gone on to bigger and better things. All right. When you're a small shop and you're walking a fine line between making money and not making money, and you don't want to lose any spokes in that wheel, it's a tough decision. And I regrettably, you know, I wish I wouldn't have made those decisions when I was younger. I wouldn't make the same mistakes today, not even close.
Corey, that is a hell of a quote. I don't care because I don't care.
Not that I don't care.
Oh, it's not that I don't care. It's just that I don't care. I just love that. And the other thing is, you know, the happy wife is the happy life, or politically correct today, it's the happy spouse is the happy life. And it's so true, Corey. You mentioned it, Corey, Jim, you did. You're going home with this weight on your shoulders with you just can't smile anymore because something's wrong. Frankly, the buck stops with you. You did create the problem and you continue to perpetuate the problem. And if more people step to the plate and realize that it begins and ends with you, then a lot of the things that we seem to be labored too long in our businesses, we can correct faster. And it goes back to this, Corey, and you nailed it just a little bit ago. Here's the process in the systems book. This is how we do what we do. You set the guy on autopilot. He was going to come in and he was going to be a no-brainer. And he proved to you, you don't need processes and systems because look what he did for 2.5 months. Oh my God, we should write down what he's doing. And that's all wrong. And Corey, you just so nailed it. If you can get up and away from your business if you've got this stuff locked down.
Oh, absolutely. And you get to a breaking point where you just got to do what you got to do. I am thankful for the experiences that I've had. And I mean, as much stress as it's caused, I have been able to kind of reflect on it and avoid getting into that situation. If there's any time where I feel like I need to walk on eggshells, then there's something wrong. If there's ever a time where I don't want to head to my shop because I don't want to come in contact with the person, that's wrong. My hiring process is a lot different. It's not just, you know, oh, you're here for a job, you're hired. No, that's not it, right? I mean, we got to make sure that our characters can match.
Corey hit it on the head, Carm. If you feel like you're walking on eggshells, it's probably time to make a move.
Well, hey, Jim, Corey, this was great. I do want you to go around the room. We'll put a bow on it and cover anything that you didn't, or if you want to reframe anything that you talked about. I think this was a great episode for so many people out there that are struggling and making decisions, really, really tough decisions, because it's nerve-wracking to hire and trying to really make that right decision for that individual. We always have so much anticipation when that person comes on board. You know, the business is going to be better. You know, one more person at a time. I fired enough people in my lifetime. One of the worst things that I ever had to do. In fact, I probably sweated it more than the person after they found out that they were let go. And so, you know, how do you find that balance? You try to hire smarter, but Corey goes back to, here's our systems, here's our process, here's our values, here's our mission, here's our vision. And when you manage to all of those componentries that run this great business, then it's not hard to be able to tell the person, listen, it's not you, you're a great person. It's your performance that we're having an issue with. Corey, anything that we didn't talk about you'd love to, you know, like to put a bow on?
Well, just what you said. You know, I don't like to fire. I don't want to be, I told my team many times, I don't want to be the cattle prod guy. I that's not me. I want us all to understand that we're working towards a common goal. And let's dominate. Let's bring success. If there's something that we need that I can help with, so what? It is what it is. I get all my team whatever they need to make the job for them to be successful. Because if they're successful, I'm successful. Like I said, I don't want to be that cattle prod guy. And quite frankly, it's got to the point where I don't fire people. People fire themselves. Everybody's heard the adage of processes don't fail you, people do. That's exactly it. So if you can disconnect from that and understand just what you said. You're a great person. It's just your performance isn't going to work here.
So well said. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Jim, you have the last word, my friend.
If you have a mechanical background, you're a small repair shop and you're struggling with this stuff, if you've got procedures and policies for your technicians in the shop, have the same policies for your service writer. That's something that I've learned, and it's not personal. If they're not doing what you need them to do, they've either got to be on board with your policies and your procedures, or you got to move on to somebody else. And making that decision is one of the biggest decisions you make for your business. And that's where you start gaining the independence as a business owner, when you can get somebody in there that does what you expect them to do. So when you're not there, you know it's getting done the way you want it done, the way your customers are used to getting it done. So it's an important hire. And if it's not working out, don't do what I did. Don't let it fester so long that it becomes a problem. Make the decision. So if you got to get back in the chair for a couple of months, nobody wants to do that. But if you have to, it's better off than destroying your business. So when you get to the point that you can say, it's not that I don't care, it's just that I don't care. And that comes to pricing everything, Carmen. I'm telling you, as a business owner, your life will change when you make that decision. My life changed dramatically when I got to that point where I could say that. It's not that I don't care, it's just that I don't care.
I love that. There's the soundbite for this episode right there. You nailed it. Thank you so much. Hey, guys, thanks for coming out during the holiday time to do this. We sure appreciate it. I know how busy you guys are. Jim Shukas from Jimmy's Automotive, Streetsboro, Ohio, and Corey Evaldi from Olmsted Auto Care in Olmsted Falls, Ohio. Corey's a Buffalo guy like I am. That's where he was born and raised, right here.
Go Bills.
In my town. Go Bills. Very good. Hey, guys, thank you so much. And enjoy the holiday with your families.
Thanks for having me, Carl. Corey, good seeing you.
You too.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.